Our text for this evening is verse number 2 of John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus here is speaking and he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now the word gospel is a wonderful Bible word. The word gospel simply means good news, and it is good news because it tells you and I about heaven. Not only about heaven, it tells you and I about how to get to heaven itself. Yes, heaven is the eternal home for all who are saved, all who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. It is the everlasting rest of all who have trusted in Christ for salvation. The eternal home of all who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible has much to say to you and I about heaven. Why, the Bible describes heaven as a tabernacle where God dwells. John says in the book of the Revelation about heaven, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Also the Bible tells us that heaven is like unto a city of great beauty and of great light. Again in the book of the Revelation it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Yes, the Bible depicts heaven as a garden with all provision for eternal life. It says, "In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And through these words and these few verses, you and I see something of the beauty and the blessedness of God's heaven. And tonight, friends, for a little while, it is this great subject of heaven and how you and I can get to heaven that I want us to think upon and to consider in this gospel meeting. I'm sure the desire of every single one in this meeting tonight is to go to heaven someday. I'm sure the desire of all who have attended this mission since it has commenced has also been to be in heaven someday, to be sure of heaven. During our time and the work of God over the years, I've never yet met anyone who said to me, "No, I don't want to be in heaven." And I very much doubt if there's one in the meeting tonight as well who says, "Preacher, you can say what you want, but I don't want to be in heaven." No, I'm sure if I were to come to your side and ask you personally tonight, "Do you want to be in God's heaven?" I'm sure each one, from the very youngest to the oldest, men and women alike, would say, "Yes, I want to be in God's heaven someday." Not being so, you and I would do well to consider what the Bible has to say to us about heaven and how we can get there. The Lord Jesus speaks to us here about heaven in our text tonight when he says there at the end of verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you." What then does the Bible have to say to you and I about this place called heaven? First of all, the Bible tells us about the reality of heaven. Listen again to the words of Christ in this verse. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And there the Lord Jesus tells you and I that heaven is real. It's a literal, certain, a definite place. Why, the Bible tells us of many who believed in the certainty of heaven. It tells us of many who have had a desire in their heart to go to God's heaven. I think of David the psalmist tonight. And what did he say in one of the psalms? He said, "This one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And he was speaking there of heaven. The longing of heaven was in his soul. I think tonight of the dying thief who was converted in his final moments as he died on the cross beside our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He too believed in heaven. He too wanted to be in God's heaven. Now the Bible tells us that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, ascended up into heaven after his resurrection. Remember when the disciples were gathered in the Mount of Olives, and Jesus had ascended, and the angels spoke to the disciples, and they said this, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There they spoke of heaven, the angels. Now the Bible tells us that God gave the Apostle Paul a wonderful vision of heaven. He had some tremendous spiritual experiences as God's servant, and God gave him a wonderful view of heaven. Indeed, he could say, I knew a man in Christ caught up into the third heaven, caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He got a glimpse of heaven. And he saw things in heaven that he was forbidden to speak about during his time on earth. Oh, friend, tonight realize this, despite what man says, despite what this sinful world says, heaven is real. Heaven is sure. Heaven is certain. Friend, it's as certain as the very seat and pew that you're sitting in tonight here in Accolade Free Presbyterian Church. Someone has once said that heaven is a reality not seen by the eye of flesh, but made known by revelation and received by faith. My speaking of heaven, the hymn writer said, we're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. They were bound for heaven. Let me ask you tonight in this meeting, are you bound for heaven tonight? Are you sure of heaven this evening? Friend, if so, you must be saved. If so, you must be born again. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, the Bible says heaven is the eternal home for all whom the Lord saves, for all whom the Lord redeems. Look at verse 3 there of John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Who was the Lord speaking to here in this chapter? He was speaking to the disciples. He was speaking to those who had trusted him, who had owned him as their Lord and Savior. Look at what he says to them in verse 1 of the chapter. He says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And now at the end of verse 2, we're told there that Christ is presently preparing heaven for all his saved people, for all his redeemed people. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, whenever God created man, God put man in Eden, the Garden of Eden. He created man sinless. He created man perfect. And Eden was a paradise to man in his innocency, when he was without sin. But man fell through the temptation of the serpent. And he sinned, and God cast man out of the Garden of Eden. He lost that paradise. Yes, Eden is paradise lost. What is heaven? It is paradise regained for all the saints of God. Why, the Bible says over in the book of Corinthians, it says, I have not seen nor ear have heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a place heaven is. Paul, writing to Christians in deep time of trouble and trial, he said this, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He told them that heaven was eternal. Again, Peter, writing to Christian in his day in a time of great trial, said this, that you have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. My D.L. Moody, whenever he was dying and leaving the scene of time, he said this. He said, earth receives and heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. And it is glorious. He was looking forward to heaven. He had the hope of heaven in his soul. Why? Because he was saved. He was looking forward to everlasting life and glory in the heaven of God. Likewise, friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're saved by God's grace, you too can look forward to heaven. Look forward to this eternal glory someday. Yes, you too tonight, if you're saved in this meeting by the grace of God, can say with the Apostle Paul in your heart and soul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My, you have the gain of heaven before you if you're saved by the grace of God in this gospel meeting. Yes, the Bible tells us about the reality of heaven. You know, the Bible also tells us about the people of heaven. Look again at what the Lord Jesus Christ says there in verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 14. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there the Lord tells us that there will be a people with him in heaven, a people with him in glory. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. There'll be a people in heaven. Who is that people? Turn over to that other passage that we read tonight, to Revelation chapter 7. And turn to verse 9, and there you see that people mentioned. Listen to what John says there in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. John here has a vision of heaven. Here he tells us that in heaven there will be a multitude that no man can number. A multitude of every tongue, of every nation, of every tribe, of every people on earth. What a number there will be in heaven. Those in heaven will have eternal communion with Christ. Notice how John speaks there of those in heaven in verse 9. And he says, they stand before the throne and before the Lamb. The Lamb is Christ. They're in eternal communion with Christ. The hymn writer says, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. My, when you're saved, you can look forward to being in the immediate presence of Christ forever in heaven. Think of the words of the psalmist. He said of the Lord, in thy presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at thy right hand. All in heaven will have eternal freedom from sin. Notice again of that great multitude that John tells us there in verse 9 of Revelation 7, that they are clothed, he says, with white robes. The white robe speaks of the purity of God's people. Such in heaven can rejoice in the forgiveness of all of their sins.
Such an heaven can rejoice in the covering of Christ's perfect righteousness, that they can rejoice and been delivered from the very presence of sin itself. You see, the Bible tells us there'll be no sin in heaven. Read in Revelation 21, verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There'll be no sin in heaven. What is it that spoils this world of God's creation today? It's sin. Sin spoils this world. It spoils everything that man puts his hand to. But there'll be no sin in heaven. Not one iota, not one trace of sin in heaven. Heaven also will be a place of eternal victory for the child of God from all the trials and burdens and cares and limitations of this life. Notice how John speaks of those that are in heaven in verse 9. He says, "The palms of victory in their hand." The palm was a sign of victory. And my, when you're saved and then go to heaven, my, you're delivered from all the troubles, all the trials, all the afflictions, all the cares and limitations of this life. The Bible speaks of those in heaven, and this is what he says. Listen to these beautiful words from the Word of God. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears will be wiped away in heaven. Samuel Rutherford, that great preacher from the covenanting times in Scotland, said this. He said, "There is no storage places for crosses in heaven." He knew there'd be no trials in heaven. That was a man who buried two wives, a man who lost many of his children in infancy, a man who was put out of his home, out of his church, out of his parish for the sake of the gospel. And then if you go to the town of St. Andrews, you can see where his body is laid to rest. But my, in heaven, he knew he would be free from all the limitations and trials of this life, that in heaven he would have perfect peace. He was looking forward to the eternal peace and glory of heaven. And friend, if you could see it, you too can look forward to this eternal perfect peace of heaven. Heaven also will be a place of eternal and perfect service. The Bible speaks of those in heaven and says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." My, on earth as Christians, our service, our worship is often hindered and with the limitations of our own flesh and with this ungodly world. But my, in heaven, our worship, our service will be perfect. Perfected forever. The hymn writer says there's a land of pure delight where the saints immortal reign. Friend, we've tried to paint before you the best we can tonight a picture of heaven. Picture of God's eternal resting place, the eternal abode of God. Tell me, friend, tonight, are you looking forward to heaven? Can you say, "Yes, I'm going to heaven"? Can you say, "Yes, preacher, I'm bound for heaven tonight"? Can you say, "Yes, I've the hope of heaven, the hope of everlasting life, everlasting glory in my soul. If I were to die in the very seat that I'm sitting in, it would be absent from the body, present with the Lord"? Tell me, have you that assurance in your soul that all is well with your soul for eternity tonight? Tell me. Have you the hope of heaven in your heart? Your soul this evening. Can you say, "Yes, I'm bound for heaven. I'm bound for the glory land"? I was hearing there recently of our brother in Christ. He's ill. And the doctors have given him a very, very short time to live. His minister's been visiting with him. His minister was saying he's rejoicing that he's soon going to heaven. Soon going to be with the Lord, his Savior. Even in the midst of sad news, so to speak, there's a joy in his heart. That's the testimony of the grace of God. He's this assurance in his soul.
Soon he's going to meet his beloved, his Savior, his Redeemer. Have you that hope tonight? Have you that assurance? Can you say, yes, it's well with my soul? Looking forward to heaven, the place of heaven, the people of heaven. But notice finally tonight the Bible tells us about the way to heaven. Go back again to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Listen carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of verse 2. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And through those words, Christ tells the disciples that the way to heaven centers upon Him. It focuses upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Thomas asked Jesus the question there in verse 5 of John 14. He said, how can we know the way? Lord, what's the way to heaven? How can we be sure of heaven? Look at what the Lord says in reply to his question in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ, my friend, is the only way to heaven. Christ and Christ alone. Christ is all you need tonight. He's the door to heaven. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the way tonight. I must say this evening that all mankind needs Christ as the way to heaven. Why? Because all have sinned before God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And because of sin, the sentence of death is upon us all by nature. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This death speaks of spiritual separation from God and our natural condition. We are dead and in trespasses and in sins. This death speaks of eternal separation from God in hell, the place of sins, eternal punishment, eternal condemnation. Remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16 who had everything the world could offer him? Yet he died. And he died in his sin. The Lord says this, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in turns, he died without Christ, and he went to a lost sinner's hell. And friend, it's because of our sin by nature and practice, because of the penalty and plight of our sin, that you and I can't make heaven on our own. It's because of our sin that you and I have no acceptance in and of ourselves before God. It's because of our sin by nature and practice that all our efforts, done with the very best will and intention in the world, cannot save us, cannot take us to heaven. You see, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And that is why you and I need the Lord Jesus Christ to make a way for us to heaven, to everlasting life and glory. My Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is the sinless Son of God. And He alone is the mediator that God has appointed to forgive our sins and to take us to heaven. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We read those tremendous words last night of Christ where it says the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. How did Christ make this way? He came from heaven's glory. He came down into the sin-cursed world as the perfect, sinless Son of God. He traversed the scene of time. And he went willingly to the cross, a cross of agony, a cross of shame, where he poured out his life unto death as an offering for our sins. Peter says of Christ, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And my, it is by a substitutionary work upon the cross that he purchased salvation and a home in heaven for all who will Trust in Him alone for salvation.
Isaiah says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. It's through the substitutionary work of Christ alone that a way to heaven has been made and opened up. You look at that passage that we read there in Revelation chapter 7. Look there at verses 13 and 14. John says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" He's asking the question, how did these people come, this great multitude, to be in heaven? Look at the next verse, verse 14. "I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, These are they which come out of great tribulation," and notice the words, "and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." All in heaven are those who have repented of their sin. They're all those who have trusted in Christ and in His blood alone for the cleansing away of their sin. All in heaven have the mark of the blood upon them. Tell me tonight, have you the mark of Christ's blood upon your heart, upon your soul? As we were singing earlier there, have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? Are you washed tonight in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, if you are to be in heaven, you must have this washing, this cleansing, away of your sin by the blood of Christ. The blood must be applied by faith to your heart. Remember David in prayer in Psalm 51. He comes before the Lord. He's dealing with his sin. And he says this, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He was asking the Lord to blot out his sin. Remember those who were saved in the night of the Passover. The blood of the Lamb was taken. The shed blood. It was applied to the lintels and the doorposts of the home. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." And they were saved. They were delivered. Those who had the blood applied. It's the blood of Christ you need tonight to save your soul and to take you to heaven. The hymn writer says there is cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through His blood. Have you the blood of Christ applied to your heart? I remember the night I was saved, just as a young child. I remember the hymn that was sung, "I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in the blood that flowed on Calvary." That night I didn't know very much, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Christ died for my sin upon the cross. And I came in simple childlike faith to the Lord by faith. Asked Him to cleanse away my sin and to save my soul through His own precious blood. Are you longing tonight to be in heaven? To be with the Lord? Come, as the hymn writer says, by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. And I must warn you tonight in closing that if you do not repent of your sins, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you trample under your feet the very blood of Christ, then you will never be in God's heaven. You'll be lost in hell forever. The lake of fire. For there's no hope, there's no remedy for those who turn their back upon the blood of Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to certain religious people of His day. People who rejected Christ. Who rejected His sacrifice. Who rejected His blood that He was to shed upon Calvary's cross. And this is what Jesus said to them in that chapter. He said, "Ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come." There was no hope for them. Oh friend, don't you be foolish. Don't be like them. Rather come now, even tonight, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have done with your sin. Lift up your heart tonight in prayer to God. Say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
God, save my soul. Blot out my sin in the blood of Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Is it well with your soul tonight? Will you be in heaven? Will you be in the glory land? Michael Faraday was a great Christian scientist. He's the man that discovered electricity for us. He was asked about heaven and he said this, I shall be with Christ. It is enough. Friend, have you come as a sinner to Christ? Trust in him. Have your sins put away by his precious blood. You too will be able to say with old Faraday, one day I will be with Christ. It is enough. Friend, come tonight. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be in no hurry. I speak to your minister here. Settle the eternal destiny of your soul tonight. Get right with God. Have the blood applied to your heart. Be saved for time. And be sure of heaven. Sure of everlasting life, everlasting glory. May God bless you and help you to come.